any papal trip to the United States is a spectacle. It's an important trip from a foreign dignitary, a head of state, which he is. And everyone kind of gets swept up in it. You know, this is unfortunately a very Kim Kardashian, you know, Caitlyn Jenner world right now, where celebrity and the ability to take a selfie is right up there on the top of the list of many Americans. And so the spectacle of this papal trip with all the security and everything that goes with it is interesting. It's intriguing to many people, including many non-Catholics. You know, he will connect with many Christians because of the common theme, but he will also speak to, in an interreligious way, to Jews and Muslims, and hopefully people who might be agnostic or atheist, who it's not necessarily about God, but it's about what's right and wrong. And so I think he's going to hit all those different themes. But I think this pope is interesting in that he, in his essence, he is a parish priest. I think that's when he's most happy, if he could simply be working in a small parish and helping families and helping people and giving mass and hearing confessions and things that got him involved in the priesthood in the first place. Because once you move up, you become more administrative and you deal with bigger issues and less from speaking to the pews. And I think that's what he's trying to do, is bring the church back to the basics, you know, and let's talk to people, let's get people back in church, more of a moral compass. And I think the nicest thing is he's bringing a smile, warmth, and a friendly manner back as the face of the Catholic Church. And that's not taking away anything from Pope Benedict XVI, who was a little more stern-looking and more cerebral, whereas this pope, I think, is more common. And I think that really touches people. And I've heard from people who, you know, are self-described liberals or conservatives or Catholics, non-Catholics, Catholics that go to church, that don't go to church, that there's something about him that they like. And that's an important first step, especially with all the self-inflicted wounds of the Catholic Church over the last decade or so.
This pope, Pope Francis, is from Argentina. Pope Benjamin was from Germany. Pope John Paul II was from Poland. And before that, popes were almost exclusively from Italy. Over the past 35 to 40 years, how has that changed the church? Has it made it more of a worldview?
I mean, you have a growing number of Catholics from South America, Central America, and quite frankly, Africa. Many new priests coming to our local parishes are from Africa or India or Central America and South America. And so there is what Catholic is, and that is universal. It is all over the world. It's not just focused in Italy where it traditionally was, but now with modern communications and travel, it is a very big church. And yet the church really is local. That's what the Catholic Church is. It's your own parish. It's your own priest. It's your own parish council. That's really the Catholic Church. The Vatican is sort of the hub, you know, like the Capitol building in Washington, but really all politics are local, right? Same thing with the Catholic Church. And I think that's what he's trying to do, get away from the centralization of what had become, you know, a bureaucracy and a top-down, and get back to basics. It's really about Sundays and living as a Catholic Monday through Saturday night and being involved in your community and understanding and believing and living the teachings of the church.
Popes certainly have chimed in on politics and political issues before. During the address to Congress this morning, the Pope called for respect for life through all phases, which brought applause from those opposed to abortion. Yesterday, he spoke at the White House about climate change. Is he the most political pope so far, would you think?
Well, I think he is bringing a different perspective. Maybe it's the Jesuit perspective. And, you know, I'm Jesuit trained at Fordham University. But I think he's just recognizing that there are issues that are important, and many different issues are relatable to different people, just like in politics in America, you know, some things are more important than others. But in totality, the issues aren't changing. You know, the Catholic Church is not, or the Pope is not going to be a pro-choice Pope, if you will, and nor should we put the papacy and the Pope into the prism of politics in America, because that's not how the Vatican is. That's not how the churches. That's not what the Pope is supposed to be. And just because the Pope says something, it doesn't mean it's infallible, that he's speaking from God on climate change or speaking from God on you know, political issues like the refugees leaving Syria. That's the Pope as a personal statement that he's making. There is Catholic dogma and doctrine, and that is what we believe came from the very beginning, and that's not going to change no matter where the winds blow. But other issues are up for discussion, and that's why the Vatican itself has meetings and calls bishops from around the world and lay people to come and discuss these things so the Catholic Church or the Pope can give advice or an opinion on something.
It was Joseph Stalin who famously, or perhaps infamously, said, "How many troops does the Pope have?" Meaning, yes, he's powerful, he's listened to, but he doesn't have the type of power that can change borders, can change the world. How powerful is the Pope?
I think it's powerful enough that everyone is listening today. You know, people are watching his address to Congress. They're reading it in the newspapers. It's the most talked about subject right now in America. And when he leaves, there will be debate about what he said and what he did and who he touched and who he hugged and all that kind of stuff. And that's okay. We should have that, which means he's significant still. And things have changed over the last several decades, where the argument with Kennedy was, you know, who's he going to be more show allegiance to, the United States or to Rome, which was a silly argument. But that's how far we've come. I mean, you don't ever think that the president or, you know, a Catholic politician is going to be, you know, give more deference to the Vatican than to his or her own district or state or country. But the Catholic Church still means a lot to a lot of people, still over a billion people in the United States. And, you know, even though the Catholic Church has taken some hits, as I said, some self-inflicted hits, it still means a lot to a lot of people.
You mentioned what happens when he leaves. How long will this momentum last? Will it be long-lasting, or once the cameras are turned off and the business gets back to usual and the excitement dies down, how long will this sort of excitement last, this momentum?
I think there's an opportunity, and I've been talking to a couple friends who grew up Catholic. You know, they're at a stage in their life where they kind of drifted away from the church for a variety of reasons. But now they're sort of questioning whether they should get back to their roots and how important it is to them. And now that they have kids and young kids, they want them also to go through what they went through with, you know, religious training, CCD, you know, all of that, including the confirmation. So in many ways, it's bringing people back to the church and reminding them of their youth and their education and their morality and ethics, and that's a good thing. And that's going to take time. You know, we'll see if more young men enter the priesthood and women enter religious life. Those are kind of things that will revitalize the church, but also each parish, how vibrant each parish will be. You know, are people going to come back to church on Sunday and help out and take it seriously? Those are the kind of things we'll see over time, but the dialogue that is happening right now is a good one.